we having pretty much concluded the introduction to this subject. Did not get all of the notes and the outlines that I wanted to get completed so that you could have those for today. It's turned out to be a much larger subject and a much larger task than I first thought. Did get enough notes and outlines for me to continue today, but the undertaking has been much more than I thought it would be. This is a much greater subject than I thought it to be, especially when I started trying to outline something for you to be able to look at. And hopefully, if possible, we'll even get that outline put on the Sermon Audio website so that people can go there to look at it also. You will need these outlines. In order to understand the subject that we're discussing, the end purpose of the triune Godhead in sending the Son, the second person of the triune Godhead, the end purpose in sending Him, the work that He had to do, and to accomplish that end purpose, for you to be able to understand it in such a way that you can explain it to others. And my purpose here is not only to refute universalism, that Christ did not come to die so that He could make a way that whereby everybody, if they did thus, this, and another thing, might be saved. That is not the end purpose. Because in that purpose, it was possible that no one would be saved. And that's an abomination to God. And so my purpose is not to only refute that, which we will do, but my purpose is to explain in such a way that you will be able to explain and understand as Christians what the end purpose was of God the Father, of the triune Godhead, in sending the second person, the Son of God, to be the mediator, to die for the sins of His people. And in doing that, we'll have to explain some things, and you'll need an outline of those for you to be able to look at and study for yourselves. But for our purpose this morning and for the text this morning, we'll try to explain the end purpose and the means or the workings and what those things are. What end purpose? The end purpose, by the way, today is the 20, what is today, the 30. Today is the 30th of January, 2011, and at Zion Baptist, we're only having the 11 o'clock services until I'm better able to get around, and the doctor says that I can get up and around some more. And we'll start this way. This can be chapter 1. The very first topic under chapter 1 is the end purpose of anything is that which the author or designer intends to accomplish by the operation or the work which is proper to its nature and which it applies itself to, that which is aimed at or designed to attain. I hope you can understand that. The end purpose is anything, or the end purpose of anything is that which the designer intends to accomplish by the operation or the work which is proper to its nature and which it applies to itself, that which is aimed at or designed to attain. For an example, I give many examples in here. It's necessary for you to understand these things that we're trying to explain, mainly the end purpose and the means. So the example is that the end purpose of Noah in building the ark was twofold. One was the preservation of himself and others, and number two, to obey the commands of the living and true God, his Creator, Genesis 6:22. You could read those very things. The work or the things done by the designer or the agent for accomplishing his end purpose is called the means. And that's what words we'll be using in this study, is the end purpose and the means. Now, the means is the work or the things done by the designer or agents for accomplishing his end purpose. Those things are called means. For the purpose of our subject, the means used to accomplish the end will mainly be the means used in or by free intellectual agents. For example, in other words, there can be many means or work performed or done by non-intellectual agents. We're not concerned with those. We're concerned with those intellectual agents that work and accomplish the means or the work performed to an end purpose. For example, Absalom, intending a revolt against his father to procure the crown and the kingdom for himself, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 15:1, he prepared him horses and chariots and 50 men to run before him. Now, all of those things are means that Absalom used to accomplish his end purpose. We're not concerned with all of those means, only those of intellectual agents, meaning Absalom and some others that he used. But the Bible says he prepared him horses and chariots and 50 men to run before him. And in verse 6, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel by deceptive and sly words. Then in Hebron, he forms a conspiracy by pretending a sacrifice, all which were the means that he used to attain his end purpose. You say, well, preacher, that's a lot of explanation to help us understand the oblation or the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which are means to attain an end. It's very important, as you will see as we go along, for you to understand these things if you're going to be able to refute and explain the sacrifice or the end purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming, in his obeying his Father's commandments and doing his Father's will while he's on this earth. It's important that you understand all these things. You say, well, it's not very exciting. Sometimes these things are not, but they are very important. And the better you understand them and are able to explain them to lost sinners and to misguided elect, then the greater use you will be to the Lord in your service to him. And so there we'll continue to explain these things. And I hope that you are grasping some understanding about what we're trying to explain concerning the end purpose of God and the means that he uses as we go along here. Between both the end and the means, there is a relation. There are causes one of another through, though there are different kinds. The end purpose is the moving cause of the whole thing. So understand that. The reason that everything is done is because of an end purpose. It is this that the whole work is performed. No one applies themselves to any kind of action except for an end purpose. It is that which determines a certain and efficient thing, way, and manner of working, meaning the end purpose. If not, a person just as soon do one thing as another thing. But we don't. We apply ourselves to this thing in order to attain that end purpose. If you didn't have an end purpose for all that you do, then you're just swatting at flies and you're just doing one thing as soon as the other thing and you're not attaining any end purpose. You're not attaining anything. This applies in life as well as our subject, if you will pay attention. For example, the inhabitants of the old world desiring to and intending unity and cohabitation and perhaps with intentions to provide safety from another storm as the one that the world had just come through, they say in Genesis the 11th chapter, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You see, they have their aim or their design, and then the means to accomplish it. Let's read it again. That's in Genesis the 11th chapter, 4th verse. He says, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They had an end means. They had an end purpose and a means whereby to accomplish that end purpose. Those things are very important to us. When studied and looked at closely, we see the whole reason and method that a wise worker, according to the instructions received, conducts himself, and it is taken from the end purpose for which he works. The means are all those things done and used for obtaining the end purpose. Like food for preserving life. Civil laws for the purpose of a quiet and peaceable human society. And you can go on and on with examples. The end purpose. The means that are used to attain those end purposes. The existence of these means is for the end's sake, and the end purpose has its rise and completion out of them. The end purpose is following them, meaning the means, either as they morally deserve or naturally as their fruit and product. You say, well, that don't make no sense to me. Well, it will. Just bear with me. It's a very important statement. The existence of these means, or the workings, the things that we do, is for the end's sake. And the end purpose has its rise and completion out of the means. The end purpose is following them either as they morally deserve or naturally as the fruit of the product. You'll see this. First, in a moral sense, when the work or the actions and the end are considered as measured to a moral rule or a law prescribed to the worker, then the means are the deserving cause of the end. For example, if Adam had continued in his innocency and done all things according to the law given unto him, the end obtained would have been a blessed life to eternity. I hope you understand that. I'll repeat it. If Adam had continued in his innocency and done all things according to the law given unto him, the end obtained would have been a blessed life to eternity. But now, the end of any sinful act is death, and the curse of the law that was given him. You see, not only was he given an end that he could have attained, but he was also given a curse that he would obtain if he did not follow the law that he was given, the prescribed law that he was given to live by. Secondly, when the means are considered in only their natural sense, then they are the instrumental and efficient cause of the end. So you have a moral sense that you have to live by, or you have a natural sense. We'll consider them both. So Joab, in 2 Samuel 3rd chapter, 27th verse, intending the death of Abner, he smote him under the fifth rib with his spear that he died. And when Benaiah, by the commandment of Solomon, fell upon Shimei, the wounds inflicted were the efficient cause of his death in 1 Kings, the second chapter. When considered in the natural relation only, there's no difference between the murdering of an innocent man and the execution of a lawbreaker. They both end up with the same results, death, when considered naturally only. That is, one murdered an innocent man, but he did it by sticking the spear under his fifth rib. And so Benaiah and the killing of Shimei, a just cause, but we're not considering the moral issue here, only the natural. And that was that both men died by the hand of another man. Those are the natural causes, and it's important for you to see those because you'll see them also in the end purpose of the triune Godhead in sending Christ and all the things that were accomplished when considered in the natural relation only. There's no difference between the murdering of an innocent man and the execution of a lawbreaker. But considered under a moral relation, their ends follow their deservings in respect to the following of their rule. There's a difference between them when you consider them in a moral relationship. Now, let's consider the work of and the workman, or the means, and he who performs them, of the means, or the work, considering the defect and the perverseness of some agents when the work to be done is not correct for the end purpose aimed toward, and not performed according to the rule or the rules which the agent is to work by, then the results will be that what aims for will not be attained, but something else not intended. Now, see if I can put that in some words that you can understand them. We're considering the work and the workman, or the means and the agent that are carrying out those means. There is a prescribed set of laws that we are to work by, and if we work by those prescribed set of laws, then the end purpose will be attained. If not, something else will be attained. For example, Adam is enticed into a desire to be like God. His aim changed from before the enticement, therefore changing his work and his actions. With his new aim to be like God, he disobeys his Creator and eats of the forbidden fruit. He did not get what he aimed for, but contracted a guilt and tried to hide himself. You see, his end purpose was not to be obedient to his Maker. His end purpose was to now be like his Maker. But the rules that he had to live by were not those that were given to him by his Creator. His rules that he had to live by now were not prescribed by God. They were prescribed by Satan. So he didn't get his end that he aimed for, to be like God. But what he obtained was the guilt. And therefore he was to try to hide himself from God because of his shame and because of the guilt that came upon him. He didn't follow the rules. But when the workman acts right and proper towards a right and a proper end and works according to the rules prescribed by the designer, then the end or the purpose of the work and the workman are one and the same. Example, Abel. In intending to worship the Lord, offered a sacrifice through faith, and it was acceptable unto the Lord. He followed the prescribed laws and the rules that he was supposed to. So is the one that seeks salvation by Christ. He must follow the rules prescribed and given by God, and by Christ, and by the apostles, in obtaining that salvation. And that is, he comes to Christ with a broken heart. He comes to Christ as a depraved man, unworthy of anything by God whatsoever. Not by the rules that were set by Satan and by man. Oh, just come and make a decision for Christ. Accept him as your personal Savior and you'll be forevermore saved if you'll do this, that, and the other thing. That's not according to the Scriptures. God can never deviate in his actions. His will and his good pleasure are the sole rule for all the works which outwardly are of him. Nor can he have any end purpose follow his acts not precisely intended by him. God's end purpose never changes. And he never deviates in his actions. Never. God's end purpose was to have satisfaction to his justice by the sufferings that Christ would do. And those he did. And no man took his life from him, even though that was their intention. But they were only able to do that which God intended before the foundation of the world. They thought they were killing Christ, but they didn't kill him. He laid his life down. No man could take his life from him. But he did that which was the end purpose of his Father. He did all the work according to the rules. And we'll see that as we go along in this teaching. May not be real exciting for you, but if you'll pay attention and you'll listen and learn and understand, you'll understand and be able to explain it better yourselves in the end. We'll close there for today. And we'll take up there, Lord willing, next Lord's morning. We'll have our Lord's Supper now, and we'll ask the